You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Welcome to Title Town Sound.
Babo? Who's Babo? Oh, Babo! That's me. Present. I'm here. Sorry, my secretary didn't write that down right.
I don't think I'd know Spencer Havener if I tripped over it.
You're the worst. You're the worst ever.
Jeremy, you love my sense of humor, right?
Yeah, it's my favorite ever.
I think JerMichael Finley could be back next year, Jeremy.
Do you?
I also think Omarius Hines could be back next year.
I hate you so much.
We chuck it down the field, we run fast, and we score touchdowns. I have nothing more to add. That's it.
Welcome to Titletown Sound, the podcast that's part of a nutritious breakfast. This is episode 57 of Titletown Sound. Jeremy and Chris and Babo with you once again. Jeremy, how you doing? Are you still feeling the effects of the hangover from the game?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hey, what's up, guys? I got some soundboards, so I'm messing with those. Congratulations! I'm good. Man, that game was just horrible. So, I've pretty much just, you know, I've run out of tissues in my house because I've been crying all week. No, it was, you know, it was one of those things where it sucked so bad I didn't really get upset. So there you go. That's how I'm doing.
Chris, how are you coping?
I'm just worried no one's gonna get a word in edgewise because Jeremy's got soundboards now, so we're in trouble.
That's right.
Yeah. I thought we had a rule that Jeremy wasn't allowed to play with toys during the podcast, but
I do.
Oh well,
I do what I want.
You do what you want,
pretty much.
And not have the soundbite for that. Why am I asking that question? Anyway, on today's podcast, we'll be looking ahead to the Carolina Panthers. We'll be answering some of your Twitter questions, and I'm going to try desperately to get into our first segment before another soundbite drops on us. We have to talk about the game that was the Packers against the Broncos and a problem the Packers have had more or less all season, rearing its ugly head or hitting its ugly rear, as my dad would say. Wide receivers not getting open. And Chris, this has been, we've been talking about this the last few weeks. What's the problem? How do we fix this? What, can I stop screaming at my TV for them to fix this or...
The one thing that really bothered me was I really thought that health would cure at least most of what ailed them in the receiving core, but it's clear that healthy or not, and they're still not 100% healthy, but they were healthy enough for an NFL team Sunday, and healthy or not, they're having troubles. Now I will grant you that Denver is a really, really good defense. But even as a really, really good defense, you would think Aaron Rodgers would have somebody to throw to at some point in time. They just weren't getting open. I didn't like the game plan. I didn't like, and again, I know game plan guy is always a complainer when they lose and never when they win. But I just didn't think that they were doing enough to scheme their wide receivers open to against what's known as a very good defense. It's not like this is a surprise. You know, going into this game, they knew they were facing one of the best defenses in the NFL, and it didn't feel like they did anything different to try to get those receivers open. Receivers who have been struggling, you know, who have not given Rodgers a whole lot to throw to, and I felt like they should have been prepared for that, and the game plan, given 2 weeks especially, should have been a little bit different.
You talked about it during the game on Twitter, and I wholeheartedly agree. They ran bunches and they were running trips a couple times and they didn't really stick with it. Now, I did go back and watch a little bit of the game. I watched a little bit of the All-22 when they were in trips, it wasn't necessarily perfect, but you got to start somewhere with those things and get them set up and get them going. You know, the Packers aren't going to do a whole new game plan of all brand new stuff, but it looks like they're trying to implement some more of that stuff. They weren't doing that early in the season.
Let's explain what we were talking about, because we were talking about this on Twitter on Sunday. The Packers defense, or offense, I should say, traditionally has been set up so that the receivers need to win one-on-one battles, get open for Rodgers, who'll go through his progression, find the open receiver. You've got a completion, first down. That's the idiot's guide to the Packers offense. So with those man, you know, those man-to-man battles. Well, you've got a defense like Denver. You got to do something because they couldn't win the battles. I mean, it was plain as day. They couldn't win their one-on-one battles. So you got to do something to beat the man pressure, the man defense. So that's why you run like a bunch formation, something that's a little bit more confusing. So it's not as easy to pick up the receivers, you know, Cobb out of the backfield, something to beat the man coverage because the receivers weren't winning their own battles. And we saw the bunch formations a couple of times, but and I'm guessing that it wasn't a big part of the game plan, and that's why you didn't see it a whole lot more. But I'm surprised it wasn't part of the game plan because it seemed like a no-brainer against this Denver defense.
I think it wasn't part of the game plan because I think they're introducing it into their offense. And I think it's something we're going to see more of because the wide receivers aren't getting open. They just slowly they're going to start working in a couple more plays that are bunch formations. You know, we've seen Randall Cobb in the backfield a few times. I think the Packers have been reluctant to do that since he's gotten hurt. But let me tell you, that if you put Cobb in the backfield and you motion him out to wide receiver, or you motion him at all from wherever he's at, you might get a mismatch. You might have somebody, a linebacker, lined up on him. That's what motion does. Is it kind of makes the defense make a quick decision before the ball's snapped. And it also can show the quarterback what kind of defense they're playing. If a guy's following him around, they're probably in man. Using motion can help in a lot of ways, and I know that, you know, it seems so simple, but if you're moving Randall Cobb around, that's going to create some matchup problems. But if you're running bunches and trips, if you're running trips, and you put your three wide receivers in a clump on one side of the field, you force the defense to play off a little bit. And then those routes, they generally work together. They're combo routes. So you'll have a deep route, a medium route, and a short route, and it puts the defense in a position where guys coming out of those, when they come out of those, if a defense, let's say a defense is in zone, and they come out and start running their routes, guys get lost because, like, they come out and they're running their routes and they kind of crisscross, and you lose your guy, or you kind of, it can create enough confusion where one of the three guys is going to get open, and so it's the quarterback's job to read that and find out, okay, which guy is open. And you go to that guy. And so that's how you scheme your guys open. You use formations that are going to create a little bit of confusion for the guys that are covering them. It also, with a defense that was physical like Denver, it forces them to back off a little bit and gives the wide receivers a cleaner break, it gives them a clean release coming off the line. And so using these formations, it's something that they did a little bit of. And like I said, I think they're going to start implementing them more and more and more. And we're going to see them a little bit more. But, man, I really wish we would have saw that more against Denver, because the other stuff, it's not working at all. Lining up three receiver set and you're spreading it out and you send your guys out and say, you go win your one-on-one matchup, it's just not working. And everybody knows it. The Packers know it. The fans know it. The other teams know it. It's not working right now. I think they're trying to figure out something else to do.
And so you've had your rants in the past. You've had your discussions about the John Kuhn lovers and others. Let's talk right now about the we need the deep threat Jeff Janis guy, because they're out there all over the place. I'm tired of it. And you know what? Look, and we've got one as our host, I think, Bobo over there. But look. So I thought for a while that the deep threat, we need a deep threat. No, Jordy, we need a deep threat. That's not the problem. We don't need a deep threat. The problem is these routes, these isolation routes are developing too slowly as it is. Deep route's not going to do anything to really open anything up, especially when you don't really have a deep threat. I mean, stop it with the Janis card. The guy's not ready. He might be ready, but he ain't ready now.
I'll tell you where I'd like to see Janis be used, and this isn't what fans are calling for at all. I'd like to see them use him on screens, just a couple bubble screens or something like that, because he is a guy that when he has the ball, he can make a couple plays. And if you mess up a bubble screen, it's you're kind of an idiot. So I don't think he could mess that up. So maybe get the ball in his hands, put a few blockers in front of him, and see what he can do with it. I don't think going deep is the answer. Everybody wants to say Jeff Janis go deep because he's fast. That doesn't mean it's the answer. Just because he can doesn't mean it's the answer. It's not.
It's not going to be some sort of achievement unlocked where the middle of the field will then open in glorious rays of sunshine, and Packers receivers can waltz through the middle of the between the hash marks and catch passes just because Jeff friggin' Janis ran deep.
Right. That's not the answer. And we've said that. This is like week four on the podcast that we've said that, except for Bobo. And I'm convinced Bobo stands tall on I want more Jeff Janis just to spite us, because I don't think he's that silly.
I'm pretty sure everything he does is to spite us.
I'm pretty positive. Like, his life goal is just to mess with us.
95% of it, yeah.
Good. I'm glad to know. I'm glad you admit to that, because obviously you know and we know that Jeff Janis isn't the answer and going deep's not the answer. Yes, I would love to see the ball in his hands more because he does have that speed and I think he can make some plays. But is it on a deep route? No. The other problem is he's not out there running crisp routes, so he's a little sloppy. And not only that, he's lost. He doesn't always know what he's supposed to do, which we've talked about ad nauseum. So I don't want to talk very much more, at least myself, about Jeff Janis, because I've already had my Janis rant. But yeah, I'd like to see some Jeff Janis, but differently than what everybody thinks.
It's not just Janis rant, it's the deep threat rant. I don't think that's the problem right now. It's not. I don't care who it is. The deep threat is not going to suddenly make our receivers win their battles.
Right. It's not. The Packers know that, okay? Let's just make that clear. They know they're not winning their matchups. And they can say till they're blue in the face, we just need to win one-on-ones. But I guarantee you, they are starting to work on something to use. And I was listening to Out of the Pocket, and Jay said they're not going to change their whole scheme. No, they're not going to change their whole scheme. They're going to implement a few wrinkles to use, and I think they've started to do that. And so I think we've seen a small glimpse of it. There's more to come. And I think when Ty Montgomery comes back, we're going to see him in the backfield, not just Randall Cobb. And so if they're not comfortable with Cobb right now because of his shoulder, they can use Ty Montgomery in that way as well. So it kind of doubles up the amount of time that you can do it. So, the health thing is still a factor for me. I believe wholeheartedly that health is still an issue because Ty Montgomery being out, okay, yeah, he's out. That sucks. But he's a rookie, so who cares? I mean, he's not that big of a deal in the offense yet. But Devontae Adams coming back from an injury, he obviously was rusty. He's not on the same page with Rodgers. They need to get comfortable with each other again, and he needs to get back to a place where he's comfortable playing football. So his injury, regardless of whether or not he was active on Sunday, was still an issue.
Sure.
We talked about it before the podcast. Andrew Corliss's injury is a problem for Richard Rodgers. He's playing way too much football. He needs to get off the field more. They need another tight end to put on the field. They don't have one. They just don't have one. Yep. So... And actually, I have the snap counts. I think I might be jumping the gun here on this because I think we were going to talk
a little bit. But hey,
we're going to talk about it later. But since I brought it up, Richard Rodgers has played a crap ton of snaps since Corliss went out. A big percentage of the snaps that the offense is playing in Week One with Corliss healthy, Richard Rodgers played 37 of 60 snaps, and Andrew Corliss played 24. Richard Rodgers in the second week played 46 of 71. Corliss got 20. Week 3, 54 of 77. Corliss got 14. Then Corliss was hurt. Since then, Richard Rodgers has played, in week 4, 68 of 75 snaps. Week 5, 61 of 65 snaps. Week 6, 48 of 56. Week 8, 52 of 54. He's playing almost every snap every week. They got to have somebody else to bring in. And the other thing is, Richard Rodgers sucks as a blocker. He's not... I shouldn't say sucks. He's not good at it. It's one of his biggest weaknesses. And Andrew Corliss is a better run blocker.
So, let me ask you this question. Is Richard Rodgers suffering? Is his performance suffering because of the snaps he's playing? Or is this Richard Rodgers?
Oh, geez. It's tough to say. I want to believe that it's about the amount of snaps and the fact that he needs a break. I don't know if I can believe that. I could say it and make everybody feel good. I just don't know that I can believe it. The other problem is, with Corliss being hurt, that injury hurts in the running game too. So when you try to run and you got Richard Rodgers playing on the line and he's supposed to block and the run's coming his direction, you can't depend on him quite as much as you can depend on Andrew Corliss. So with Corliss being hurt, the run game suffers. Eddie Lacy is still dealing with an ankle. I guarantee you it's still slightly a problem at least. So they didn't come off the bye completely healthy. It's not all fixed, and it's not all perfect. And they might never get fully healthy, but they really need those rotational guys so other guys can get breaks. And without Corliss, that's not happening. It's just not happening. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is Richard Rodgers. What we're seeing is who he is. Maybe not. Maybe if he gets a couple more breaks and he plays half the snaps that he's been playing, maybe he can be more active in the offense because he's not dying. Especially in Denver, he played 52 of 54 snaps in Denver, where there's no air to breathe. So you know that probably sucked.
Fair to say. And I want to throw to our next subject here because, Jeremy, I know you're catching your breath after talking about Rodgers there, but you wanted to touch on Ripkowski being on the field early in the game. Kuhn didn't come out till later. I'm going to put the ball on the tee and let you have a whack at it.
All right. So, again, on Out of the Pocket, Kelly was picking on us for our love for Aaron Ripkowski.
your...
Okay, well, she was claiming it was all of us, so congratulations, you guys are on the train, regardless
of... I'm on the Ripper train.
Good. Regardless of if you bought a ticket, Bobbo, you're riding the train, you better enjoy it. So, yeah, Aaron Ripkowski got on the field early. He was on the field in the second quarter. He played two snaps, two in a row. And they ran, it was a lead dive, and his block was perfect. He met the linebacker in the hole, took care of him, and the guy was unable to make a play. That's exactly what you want to see. He didn't blow him up or anything, but he accomplished his task. The second play they ran a four receiver set, three receivers to the left. Two of those receivers were Richard Rodgers and Aaron Ripkowski. So believe it or not, Aaron Ripkowski was lined up way far out there as a wide receiver. They were trying to run a screen play with Devontae Adams. He dropped the football. But they're starting to do some different things, and they're starting to use Aaron Ripkowski. So, like him or not, they like him, because they don't put him on the field if they don't like him. They put Kuhn in there. Kuhn didn't get on the field until the fourth quarter. He did not see the offense see any offensive snaps until the fourth quarter. So, I think that's saying an awful lot. If they're putting Aaron Ripkowski in the second and Kuhn in the fourth, they like what they have right now.
The only thing I can say to our air quote friends out of the pocket is the future is here and the future is the Ripper.
That's right. The future is the Ripper. Get used to it. I'm going to get a Ripper tattoo.
We need nice. Now that is a great life decision, Jeremy.
On my face.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I'll get a two on each cheek. It'll be awesome.
I really hope you mean the face. Switching over to defense, let's talk about Casey Hayward real quickly here. It looked like he got exposed a little bit, and I think even relatively casual fans were catching on to that. Chris, your thoughts on Casey Hayward going forward? I mean, was this just – can we say it was an off game, or is this basically
– No, we can say that Casey Hayward is not a boundary corner. But that's not to say that Casey Hayward's not useful. I think Casey Hayward is fantastic in the slot. He's a ball hawk. He really, in the middle of the field, I think he really can do some great things. I just don't think I don't think as a boundary corner they're setting him up to be successful. Not everybody's going to be a shutdown, you know, Richard Sherman. And he's not. He was exposed. He looked lost, and it was brutal watching him. I think they called his name about four plays in a row. It was brutal, but I'd like to see him back where he is more you know, where his talents really should take him, which is as the slot corner. That's where he belongs. That's where he's had success. To try to, you know, fit a square peg into a round hole, I don't think it makes sense. Use your players where their strengths are.
Let me try to sum up how I felt watching Casey Hayward.
Uh-oh. Ah!
That's pretty much
God,
it.
God, it's the soundboard again.
It was terrible, though. Okay, so...
That board was terrible.
That was pretty terrible. I could use Marv from Home Alone, but that scream is pretty obnoxious, so I'm not going to do it. Casey Hayward, he's not a perimeter guy. But when Sam Shields goes down on the first series, the first defensive series, he's going to be forced to play out there, and he better freaking figure it out. And then you lose Quentin Rollins, so there was no choice to upgrade.
I know. At one point, there was no choice. I understand that, but... That's not where his strength is what I'm saying.
No, it's totally not. And I'm not saying that you know that you think they should have done anything different, because they couldn't. And we all know that. They couldn't have done anything differently than what they did. They did what they had to. It would have been awfully nice to have Quentin Rollins. Because I think that if you put Quentin Rollins in there and you got Demarius Randle and Quentin Rollins on the outside and Hayward in the slot, you're better off. That would have been much better. So, it sucked. The whole game sucked. The whole freaking game was terrible from beginning to end. It was a bummer. There was one positive in that football game, and his name is Dimitri Goodson. That's it.
Yeah.
He played 12 snaps, and we didn't hear his name one time. What an improvement from last season. I feel like there were times last season where he would get so lost in trying to cover his guy, he'd spin in a circle. It's just... He was so bad last year. To have him play 12 snaps against the Denver Broncos when they're absolutely annihilating you through the air and you don't hear his name once, it's a positive. Take the one little positive I've just given you and hold it tightly, because that's all you get.
Also, no one on the Packers died. Another positive.
That is a positive. Absolutely.
Also, nobody lost any limbs, so that's also a good thing.
Oh, I have another positive.
Yes.
The Bucks are winning. Yeah.
That'll be great when someone's listening to this show 3 days from now and they're not.
And they're looking for the Bucks score and the Bucks aren't playing. It'll be great.
35 5 minutes ago. What happened?
Oh, gosh.
Right. Well, another positive here. Let's go to pick three. And, Broncos won the game, granted, so the Packers wouldn't add anybody from the Broncos roster, but... Had the Packers won, and had they the opportunity to take players off of the Denver Broncos roster, if you could pick any three, Jeremy, who would you take from the Denver roster?
Okay, well, I'm taking Von Miller, and I'm taking Derek Wolfe. I like Derek Wolfe when he came out in the draft. He's playing pretty well for Denver. I don't know, I just feel like that's a good choice. And Von Miller, obviously you have to have him in his creepy glasses. And then Demaryius Thomas, because he was destroying everybody, so, you know, why not?
I'm going to take Owen Daniels, because it would really have been nice if in the offseason we could have brought in a tight end. Oh, wait, we could have.
And didn't.
And we did.
That's
true. And he left town.
Oh.
No, but I'll take him, because we need a tight end. I'll take Demaryius Thomas, and I will take Aqib Talib. I just like the idea of... more help on the boundary, and we didn't have it that night, and it was brutal.
I just need to say, you know, talking about bringing in a tight end, or could have brought in a tight end in the offseason, I have friends who wish that the Packers would call our buddy there out in Oregon. Dang it, his name has completely escaped my mind.
Are we talking about Colt
Lairla? Colt Lairla. Everybody, you know, I have people saying, why don't they bring in Colt Lairla? How much did that dude fall? I mean, and he was already pretty freaking deep. When the Packers have the situation they have one tight end. He's playing almost every snap, and they refuse to call the guy. They're not going to call him. They got Justin Perillo and Kennard Backman are the other tight ends on the active roster, or on the 53-man roster, and they're just not using them. So there's a guy who's talented at tight end. He's out in Oregon doing God knows what and getting in whatever kind of legal trouble he can find, and the Packers refuse to call him. I mean, how far down has that guy fallen? I thought you couldn't get much farther. Now nobody in the league will call him at all. So if you're one of those people who wants Colt Lairla, it's not going to happen. There you go.
Just for the record, anything that Jeremy claims that Lyrla is currently doing should have allegedly in quotes.
Allegedly. In front. Yes. He's allegedly playing rugby. He's allegedly in Hawaii. He's
allegedly getting into trouble.
He's allegedly tattooing his face with an Aaron Ripkowski beard.
Nice.
Great. My pick three is real quickly. I'm going to go Demaryius Thomas as my number one guy. Number two on my list was DeMarcus Ware. Because Ware can still bring it.
I like Ware, but he's just old, so that's why I didn't pick him. I wanted to. I did.
Sure. Well, you're ageist. That's okay. And number three, I went with Von Miller as well, because, well, like you said, the glasses. Kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's okay at football, too. That said, that puts a cap on pick three, and that takes us into Twitter questions. And you can ask us questions anytime you want, at Titletown Sound on Twitter. And we got a handful of them here. One I'm going to throw out there, because Jeremy, you kind of touched on it already, comes from the Book of Mark, which is at Ignant Tone on Twitter. He said, who's the tight end two?
Who's number two?
Who's tight end two?
Justin Perillo. That's who's number
two. We know it's not Colt Lyrla. We just discussed that. But I think the point is, it's really nobody.
I know. It is really
nobody.
You know,
nobody. I mean, if Richard Rodgers is playing like 94% of snaps, it ain't anybody right now.
It's not Kennard Backman. He's too raw. And they like him, and that's why he's on the 53. But he's that Carl Bradford guy this year. He's going to be on the roster all year. You're not really going to see him. He has played a few snaps this year, but not much. And obviously they could use somebody to come in at tight end, and you'd think if he'd be ready, they'd be using him. But they're not, because he's not ready. So the number two is Justin Perillo, and we've seen him have a couple catches. But in the end, Justin Perillo is just a guy. He's just a guy.
All right.
I got a Justin Perillo story. I don't know how many other people have one of these, but at training camp, you know, everybody's trying to get autographs. So Justin Perillo signed my daughter's cheesehead, which was pretty cool. So the next day, it was the only signature we had on the damn thing. The next day, my wife was getting signatures while I was taking my daughter. She was actually riding with Nick Perry that day. That day, we got an autograph on our cheesehead also, and it was Justin Perillo.
Nice.
So I now have the only cheesehead probably in the world autographed by Justin Perillo twice.
Not even Justin Perillo's mom can claim that.
Did he sign it? Did he sign it side by side? I really want his autograph to be in the same exact spot.
So I will have to photograph it for you. I don't recall how close it is to his other signature, but I will find that for you and send you a picture.
That is the best. The best.
Oh, criminy. All right. Oddly enough, we have two questions from Rusty this week at Rusty Weiss.
He pronounced his name for us, and I have no idea how to pronounce it still.
Weissy.
It's something like Weije, or so. It's really I'll say unique way of pronouncing his name.
All right, so Rusty Johnson tweeted at us. First one is, instead of calling plays again, shouldn't head coach McCarthy have seen passing problems and told offense to use shorter route combos? Chris, I'll throw that to you.
Well, they only have certain plays installed for a week, and it's not like you can say, this isn't working, let's install a new game plan in the middle of the first quarter, even at halftime. It's just, it doesn't happen. So, and maybe they did call what was the optimal plays that they had installed for that week. I don't think the game plan matched up well with what Denver did to them. So, yeah, I mean, I know everybody wants them to change and like go into some sort of different offense when they see the problems they're having, but there are limitations. You can only do so much. Because of what you've got installed for that week.
Yeah, maybe the Packers were as convinced that health was going to fix it as everyone else was. You know, maybe they were as convinced that when Devontae Adams comes back, that'll fix the problem and we'll be good to go. And then it wasn't. And so, you know, let's see how he reacts this week. Okay, if he's the guy overseeing everything and helping make decisions and all those things. Let's see how they change and how they react after last week, because there will be something different. We will see something. Maybe we just see more trips run or something like that, where they're bunching up their wide receivers and things like that. But let's just see how he reacts, because this is the game where it's like, okay, we need to do something different, or we need to be, you know, winning these one-on-ones. But I think they're at a point where they're going to try to implement a few more things. And so look for it this week. And then we'll answer that question. You know, ask us next week, and we'll answer that question then.
All right. Then he kind of followed up with if the offense practices a scheme all week and they're totally unable to ditch that scheme and fall back on plays they've used before, which doesn't seem like that's a grammatically correct sentence, but we kind of touched on that already.
Don't be a snob. Don't be a snob, you douche.
I think what Rusty's saying is, like, if the scheme isn't working, can't they go back to something they installed for a previous week? I think that's what the question is. I don't think they really can. I mean, they will have plays that are installed and plays that aren't ready for that week. I mean, yeah, I'm sure they make some adjustments, but they can't make wholesale changes. Or if they did, I don't know how reliable and effective it would be.
The other thing, too, though, is that I don't know if Rusty thinks this way. Rusty's actually a rather smart fan, but I'll
he does listen to our show.
Oh, okay. No, good point. But so offenses run a certain way depending on the defense that you're playing against. So if you had some success with something against a 4-3 defense a few weeks before, it might not work against a 3-4. It might not play well against that scheme. So you're not going to run that. You're going to avoid that. And so there's limitations based on so many things that it's hard to just say, yeah, well, why don't we just plug that in here? And a lot of people don't quite understand that, but there's just so many factors they need to think about when, you know, if we're going to reach back and pull out a play that has worked before, we also need to consider what defense does that fit against? Does it fit against the team that we're playing right now? Maybe, maybe not. And so it's tough to do. Can they do it? Yeah, I think they can. I think they can reach back and find stuff in the playbook that and players have talked about it before in big games and playoff games and Super Bowls. Like, we hadn't run that play in weeks. It wasn't something we were doing, and then they called it and we did it.
You know, plays here and there, but I don't think you make wholesale changes.
No, I don't think so either. But it can happen here and there. It's something that can definitely happen here and there. But there's a lot of factors that go in, and so it's just hard to make big changes to your scheme during a game. It's not something that you can really do.
All right. Next question here comes from Mark at Dud6887 on Twitter. And he said, Packers offensive struggles, talent, coaching, or more? That's a whole podcast. We really could go a whole podcast about that. But Chris, the struggles, what would you pin it number one on? Talent, coaching, something else?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, I think it was a combination of talent and coaching in this one. And so talent-wise, I mean, I think they're a talented team. I think the ability to execute was tough because of, first of all, some lingering injuries. I just don't think this wide receiver core was kind of built for the game plan they had, and that's where I think that it was talent and coaching. That I don't think the game plan was exactly – I mean, look, it's easy to say in retrospect. If it had worked, you would have said, wow, that was a great game plan. But – in retrospect, I don't think it was the perfect game plan for this receiver core in this level of health at this point in the season against a great defense. So I think both of them contributed to it. I don't think they executed. I don't think the talent was as great as we'd like to see it, and I don't think the coaching was perfect either.
I think it's a mix of all of those things and some other stuff. It's coaching wasn't exactly what you'd hope it would be. It felt like they came out and, for the most part, ran the same offense we had been seeing for weeks that wasn't working. And that was frustrating to see after you had 2 weeks to figure out a couple new wrinkles. And maybe those bunch formations, that was the new wrinkle, and they didn't use it a whole lot. And then there's things like when Eddie Lacy breaks off a couple big runs, you can run it more than twice. You can do it more than two times in a row, and nobody's going to judge you. But the Packers don't do that. They get two big runs, and it's like, okay, we're set now. We set up the run, and now they have to defend against it. We're good for the game. Sometimes that seems to happen. The Packers coaching staff is one of the most stubborn coaching staffs in the league. They believe what they've done, they believe what they've created is going to work, and they stick to it. And, you know, that's great. They believe in themselves. That's fantastic, but sometimes it's a problem. Sometimes it's to a fault. Personnel, some of it's personnel. Richard Rodgers needs a break, and you need a tight end that's going to be able to go on the field and block like crazy on a run play. And they don't have that right now. They don't have a guy to rotate in. So they have to consider those things when they're calling plays. They have to consider Eddie Lacy still got his bum ankle. So how do we want to use him? James Starks is coming off of a hip injury. He's probably still banged up. How do we want to use him? So it's a personnel issue. It's a health issue. It's the offensive line wasn't perfect. Eddie Lacy a couple times was in pass pro and got blown up and pushed back into Rodgers' face. It's awfully hard to have a pocket to step into when a linebacker comes flying up the middle and Eddie Lacy doesn't really, you know, take care of him well enough. Yeah, he gets a block on him, but when Lacy's backing up into you, it makes it awfully uncomfortable for Rodgers in that pocket. And the way that the defense was playing against him, they weren't coming too hard upfield off the ends. So he couldn't go side to side, and he couldn't step forward in the pocket. So it was just a lot of things mixed together. Health, coaching, players, just too much all at once. That's what you get. When all of those things stack up on each other, that's the kind of football game you get to watch.
All right, a couple more items from Twitter. One from Bouncing Photons, at KS Krug on Twitter. Just throwing in a classic. What the hell is going on around here? Everybody grabbing, nobody tackling. Hashtag soundbite, please.
What the hell's going on out here? Everybody grabbing out there. Nobody tackling. Just grabbing, everybody. Grab, grab, grab. Nobody tackling.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Title Town Sound, where we play all the requests all the time.
That's right.
Big hits in the 60s and 70s right here.
The greatest hits of the 60s, 70s, 80s, and today. It's only on Title Town Sound. I've always wanted to do that. So.
And now you have.
By the way, the next big giveaway is tickets to Supertramp. Last item
Sweet.
On Twitter. Yes. Last item comes from James Corsmo, our very own James, at JKSub20. If we lose on Sunday, who provides pitchforks? Jeremy, that sounds like your department.
Yeah, I could do it. Chris Burke, he offered to help me off somebody this week, so I feel like he could help us out. Yeah, I don't know. We'll find some pitchforks and some flamethrowers and stuff, and then we'll hand them out.
Yeah, I think they'll already, everyone will bring their own. There'll be an Austin Straubel by the time the plane lands, and, you know.
We'll set it up like a soup kitchen, you know? First come, first serve. We'll start with flamethrowers, and we'll end with pitchforks, and you get what you get. And if you don't get anything, you have to use your fists or rocks. Those are your options.
Awesome sauce. All right. So thanks again to everybody who participates in our Twitter questions every week. Again, at TitletownSound. If you want to throw something at us during the week, we're pretty good at keeping up on that. Jeremy and Chris in particular are on top of that.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next game coming up on the Packers schedule, the Carolina Panthers. And looking at their offense, it's kind of an interesting bunch because Cam Newton's still at quarterback. The running game led by Jonathan Stewart, and he's been leading the running game there for about 30 years or so, longer than the franchise has been around. The receiving core, if I remember correctly, had basically nobody back outside of maybe Kelvin Benjamin, who's injured and out for the entire season. Their leading receiver right now is tight end Greg Olsen. And then there are other guys like Ted Ginn Jr., Jericho Cotchery. Nobody that strikes you as particularly fearsome. But this is a team number one in running the ball in the NFL right now, even though they're 29th in passing. So,
that's really, if you think about it real quick, that's kind of amazing. Without a real receiving threat, their running game is really good. That's, you know, that's hard to do.
Well, that's a big, you know, that's actually big ups to Cam Newton because he's been using his legs and it's been working. They don't have a wide receiver to throw to. They have Ted Ginn Jr. So they got to do something. They have to have something be productive, and it's got to be the run game because they don't have very many options otherwise.
Excuse me.
You're excused.
So is there anything, Chris, that you're particularly what are you most concerned with, I guess, with the Panthers offense? Do you think they can run for, right now they're averaging 144 yards on the ground per game. Do you think they can do that against Packer defense right now?
Because the last two times we faced a read option offense, Packers played pretty well against it and stopped some pretty notable running backs along the way. The last two games they've lost their way. So, and I don't think, and I think Sunday's game, There's almost an excuse for that defense because they were on the field so much. I mean, the offense was getting nothing done. But I think the Panthers, the one thing that really worries me is Cam Newton. He can get creative. He's a better read option quarterback than Colin Kaepernick. I think arguably you can argue that now he runs the read option better than
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson is doing it right now. He's not quite the passer, or at least doesn't have the weapons, but that's what worries me. And that's really the only thing that worries me. I think the running game is going to get a lot of yards. I don't think that that's going to be what kills the Packers. Maybe if it's Cam Newton running the ball, that may be what kills him. But I, you know, that's what concerns me.
All right. Let me get my green and gold glasses on here.
All right.
Okay, so the Packers have been pretty darn good against the run, except for a handful of games. Actually, the defense has been quite Jekyll and Hyde, so really it's tough to determine whether or not they're going to be good. But I kind of disagree. I think the problem is with the read option specifically. I think the teams that have been running it this year haven't really had a chance to stick to it because the offense has started games hot. Teams have got to start, they have to start pushing the ball downfield, especially the 49ers. They couldn't stick to anything they were trying to do because they suck so bad. The Packers were, they started fast, they scored quick, and they've been doing that game after game until this past week. So it makes it awfully hard to run the ball a whole game when you're chasing a team down or when you feel like you need to chase a team down. If a team looks hot, if an offense is moving the ball pretty well, you kind of get scared to stick with the run, and some coaches do, some coaches don't. I don't know. Maybe Jim Tomsula, you know, he's not strong on how he wants to run his game plan, and when something looks scary, he wants to run away from it. I don't know, but the point is, I think the defense will struggle against the read option, but they have been good against the run. So the question that I have here, which defense are we going to see against the run this week? The one that has played Jamal Charles or the one that played against Matt Forte? I think Cam Newton is not only good in the read option because he runs it well, but he's also difficult to take down. That dude is a tank. He's huge. Yeah. So this defense needs to, they need to be on their P's and Q's. You need to be assignment sure, because Mike Neal, I love you. You are a very nice person. But when the read option is being run at you, you struggle the most.
I think he dives at quarterbacks and he dives inside on, you know, during warm-ups when he sees the read option being practiced.
Yeah, but the Packers have also done some different things this year. Instead of letting the read option run, they don't care. They hit the quarterback.
Yeah.
They hit Peyton Manning. They ran a read option play, one, and Clay Matthews hit Peyton Manning. They were hitting Colin Kaepernick when they were running it, and that's not something they were doing in the past, and that's going to help. When the quarterback is running the read option, smack him in the mouth, because their coaches they're not going to like that. If you're messing with their franchise guy, they don't want to put him in harm's way. So they have to smack him in the mouth, and dear Lord, please don't let them run the read option at Mike Neal. If that doesn't happen, we're good. Everything's great. Well, Clay Matthews bites down pretty hard on it too sometimes, but Mike Neal, I think, is the biggest issue against the
read option. I feel like Matthews has improved his game against the read option, especially since he's been inside. But Mike Neal. Ugh.
Well, I guess, you know, being inside, being an inside linebacker, you're forced to read the play a little more. And so when he moves up into that outside linebacker position, he sees things maybe a little differently than he has in the past. So, yeah, maybe he's gotten better. He used to be pretty terrible at it. Mike Neal is the worst at it. And let me just say this. I was doing the Antonio Freeman show this week. Mike Neal was the guest. What a classy guy. Just so nice. He was getting ready to go, and everybody near the set wanted to talk to him, and he did. He stood there. He took pictures. He hugged people. He shook hands. He was so kind. He doesn't have to. He could have left instantly. He could have said, okay, I'm out of here. But he didn't. He stuck around. He hung out with people. It was really cool to see. But, man, against the read option, I have nightmares just of Mike Neal playing over and over in my head against the read option. It's bad. So I think the defense can be pretty good this week. They have to keep smacking the quarterback in the mouth. and be assignment sure. Stay home, read the play, see where the ball goes, then react. Don't bite. You can't bite. So maybe after last week, after the shellacking they were handed in Denver, maybe they will be more assignment sure. Sometimes that happens. You get the crap kicked out of you, and you start playing football the way you should be playing. Fingers crossed, people, because that's what I'm hoping for.
All right, let's talk Carolina's defense here. It is a pretty sturdy one. Luke Kuechly, one of the top linebackers in the game right now, especially if he's healthy. Secondary, Roman Harper, name we're familiar with. Charles Tillman, certainly a name we're familiar with. Not sure that he's the Charles Tillman that we hated so much in Chicago, but Jared Allen, of course, now in Carolina. And, I mean, this is a sturdy-looking defense. Ron Rivera, the head coach, is a defensive-minded guy, and it's showing right now, looking at their numbers on that side of the football. 20th against the rush, so they're maybe a little bit soft there, but they're top 10 in passing yards allowed, overall yards allowed, as well as points. Chris, your thoughts right now on Carolina's defense? I mean, not doesn't look quite as good as Denver's, but I don't know. How much is it, a step down, two steps down?
Nobody looks quite as good as Denver right now. I mean, they are the premier defense right now in the league. But with that said, with the way the Packers played, almost any defense would concern me this week. And this week will be very telling to see how they can play against a relatively good defense, but not an overpowering one. Being on the road is going to make it tougher. So I'm nervous about how effective they're going to be on the road in these circumstances. I know I think I saw a stat today that Rodgers hasn't lost a game when he started when he's been the starter, hasn't lost a game since back-to-back games, I should say, since like 2010 or something ridiculous. But I'm concerned. I think the defense is strong enough that they can give them problems.
The defense is not Denver's defense, and everybody watched that Panthers game from last week and freaked out because this defense looks amazing. Well, they're ranked like 10th in the league, and I'm not saying that rankings are everything, but the point is, Denver's number one for a reason because they do what they did week in and week out. They do it every week. The Panthers don't do that every week. Just like the Packers defense doesn't play well every single week. So you can get concerned and say, well, they're going to destroy us just like they destroyed, who did they even freaking play? I don't even remember. Either way, regardless of that, the point is, I even watched the game, so where's my brain going? I don't know where it is. But the point is, their defense, they haven't been consistently as good as what you saw the other night. So remain calm, everybody, because you're not necessarily going to see that. So,
and the other night they were playing in an absolute, are you talking about the Monday night game?
Monday night.
They were playing in an absolute downpour, too.
Yeah.
Which helps the defense a little bit.
I think this is a good week for the Packers to use the run game. And they have to start. They have to start leaning on it more because the passing game has been so bad. Start making defense adjust to what you're doing. And I know defenses, they are playing with their safeties up. They are putting an extra man in the box. Pound it in their face. Use Eddie Lacy. I don't know.
And like, send Jeff Janis deep.
And send Jeff Janis deep. Jeff Janis, go deep.
You're just saying Jeff Janis go deep because he wanted to go away. I understand.
Go deep and never come back.
It's true. That is what I want. Go deep, never come back.
All right. On that note, before we get into much more Jeff Janis hate here, maybe we should get into Fantasy Pick'em, where last week I thought I had a better week than I actually did. Apparently Peyton Manning didn't actually pass for a touchdown, which I didn't realize. So I only took second last week. Chris, I'm sorry to say you took third last week with Emmanuel Sanders and Eddie Lacy. And Jeremy, of course, had Aaron Rodgers, which didn't factor into things too much, but Demaryius Thomas had a good game, so there we go. So Chris gets the first pick in fantasy. Pick him this week. I will go second. Jeremy's got the turn. So Chris, Packers, Panthers, who's going to be your first pick?
My first pick, it may be a first this year.
Uh-oh.
Is not Aaron Rodgers.
I'm afraid of this.
My first pick is Cameron Newton.
Oh, part of me had a feeling you were going to do that. The one guy on the Panthers that you could probably count on for fantasy numbers. I, by default, with the second pick, have to go with Aaron Rodgers. A, because I kind of have to, and B, it deprives Jeremy of the pleasure of taking
it. That's fine by me. I'm going to take Eddie Lacy because I feel like they're going to run the ball. So there's that. And Jonathan Stewart, because I refuse to take Ted Ginn Jr.
All right. I forgot another reason I took Rodgers there was because I didn't want to take Randall Cobb again because he never scores for me.
Good. You didn't take him. That means he's going to have a good game. Perfect.
That's how it works, you know. My pick for the Panthers, I've got to go with Greg Olsen, top receiving threat for them. So I'll go tight end. Chris, you had a Packer
pick. I think that's a great pick, and I think the Broncos showed what can happen. I think when James Corsmo wrote it the best in his reaction to the game on Monday, he liked it how Dom Capers didn't defend between the hash marks and made Peyton Manning really throw it down the middle. That's what it seemed like for most of the game. It was brutal. So I think that's a good pick. I will take Randall Cobb since you didn't, which means obviously because of science, he'll have a great game and I should be able to finally win.
All right.
All righty. So now we move on to true false, where we all did okay last week. Jeremy got 3 out of 5 correct. Chris and I got 2, and Chris is maintaining a 3-point lead over Jeremy going into this week. Yay. As long as Jeremy's not winning, I'm happy.
Hey, I'm running him down. We were pretty far behind, Bobo, and I don't know if you remember, but you were way far behind, and you still are. So, congratulations.
I'm like 6 points behind Chris right now, and I'm telling you, it ain't going to get much better. So, we got 5 true or false questions for you this week. And first I got true false number 1. Aaron Rodgers passes for at least 225 yards. Green Bay is 27th in the league in passing, averaging 210.1 yards per game. Carolina is 7th against the pass, allowing 228.9 yards per game. So I'm leaning a little bit more toward Carolina's number with this true-false question. So, Jeremy, Aaron Rodgers passing for at least 225 yards, true or false?
I love to believe that Aaron Rodgers is the guy who gets angry and goes off. But I feel like it's been a while since we've seen it. So, maybe to try to make Aaron Rodgers more angry, because I know he listens to the podcast.
He's a big fan.
I'm going to say false, because I think they're going to lean on the run game more, and I don't see Aaron Rodgers putting up that many yards.
Chris?
Well, I agree with you. I believe the answer is false. That's why I did not pick him in Fantasy Pick'em. I don't think I'll have a bad game, but I don't think he's going to go over the number, and so that's it.
All right. I will have to say true because, on the one hand, I'm trying to catch up to you guys, so I got to go opposite a little bit here.
Good strategy.
There you go. True false number 2. Randall Cobb records at least 90 receiving yards. He had 91 receiving yards in Week 3 against Kansas City. His last 4 games played, he has had 132 total receiving yards. Maybe due for a breakout at some point, but I wanted to mention Randall Cobb here. So, Jeremy, Randall Cobb records at least 90 receiving yards, true or false?
I'm really tempted to say true, because Randall Cobb is a guy that showed some emotion in that last football game because he was playing pretty well when the ball was coming his direction. And I think he showed a little bit of frustration. He looked over at the sidelines and got all crazy because I think he wanted the ball. And I think if they can feed him the ball, if they can get him the ball, I think he can get there. But I'm going to say false. I think maybe he's close, but I'll say false.
I am going to say true. Randall Cobb came out today and basically said he's got to play better. He will play better. He's going to make a difference. And I think that he is the kind of guy that will go out there and win those one-on-one battles more than maybe he was last time. And, you know, maybe Rodgers looks for him a little bit more. So I'll say true on that one.
All right. I am going to say, I want to say false because of the whole fantasy pick'em thing, but I'll say true. I'll be an optimist. Why not? True false number 3. As a team, the Packers rush for at least 115 yards. Packers are 12th in the league in rushing at about 122 yards per game. Carolina, 20th against the run. Again, it's a soft spot of the defense if they've got one. 113.7 yards allowed per game. So again, Jeremy, as a team, the Packers rush for at least 115 yards. True or true? Because we know what you're going to say.
I'm going to say false. Just kidding. I'm going to say true because I believe they're going to lean on the running game. True.
I wonder what you're
saying. I'm going to say true as well. I think they will run the ball quite a bit, and I think they'll be successful.
I am going to say true as well.
Good.
Because apparently I don't really want to catch up to you guys in this game.
Good analysis. This is all really good.
True, false, number four. As a team, Carolina rushes for at least 130 yards. Mentioned the Carolina running attack is number one in the NFL right now. Oddly enough, though, Stewart, 505 rushing yards this season. Newton, 286. The number three guy is Tolbert, and he's under 100 yards for the season. All three of those guys are averaging 4 yards per carry or better. And the Packers are actually 26th, I believe, against the run, 124.4 yards allowed per game. So as a team, Carolina rushes for at least 130 yards. Jeremy, how optimistic are you feeling about the defense?
All right, I got my green and gold glasses back on. I'm going to say false. I think the Packers show up with the run defense that we have enjoyed watching this season, and that's what they bring us, and that's how things work out for me in true or false. So there you go.
I forget which one is true, which one is false, so whichever one says that the Packers' run defense plays well, I'll take that one.
All right. Carolina rushing for at least 130 yards. So
false then, yeah, false.
All right. You're gonna take the under.
I really do think that the defense will play well, especially the run defense. I think they'll show up again like we saw them a little bit earlier. I'm hoping the last couple of games were a little bit of an anomaly and they play much better.
All right. I am actually gonna complete the second sweep in true false and say false. I'm gonna be again the optimist. True, false, number five, Carolina Panthers win the turnover battle. Panthers are plus +5 in the turnover ratio this season. The Packers are plus +7. So a fairly simple one to go out on. Carolina Panthers win the turnover battle. Jeremy, true or false?
Oh, it's tough to say because the Packers' defense looked so bad the last two games. It's tough to say what we're going to see as far as passing attack goes and stuff like that, but I'll say true just because I like those ratios. Seven's pretty darn good. So, wait, do I mean false? Baba, what's the question?
The true-false statement was Carolina Panthers win the turnover battle.
Oh, then I'm going to say false.
I will say false. I will say false as well. I think one of the things we didn't really get into in the body of the show was it's sometimes frustrating that Rodgers takes care of the ball too well, if that makes sense. Honestly, against Denver, it was time to get desperate. It was time to force things a little bit, and he still wasn't. I would have liked to have seen it a little bit, to be judicious with it. But anyway, with all that said, he protects the ball so well. That's why I don't see them losing the battle, turnover battle of the Panthers.
All right. I hate to say I've got to go false as well. I was hoping I could trip one of you up with that one, but no such luck. Doggone it. All right. Time for predictions. Jeremy, I throw it to you first. Green Bay Packers, Carolina Panthers, Green Bay coming off of a loss. And I believe, if I remember correctly, I think both of you guys said you thought the Packers would lose one of the next two. And Jeremy, you were the one to say it was going to be against Denver. So that kind of hints you're going to pick the Packers here, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I am. I am going to pick.
Glasses?
Yep, I got my green and gold glasses on. I'm keeping them there. I am going to pick the Packers to win. Look, I said it last week. The Packers are going to lose one of these two games. I picked the Broncos. I still believe they're going to win one of the two games, and they're going to beat the Panthers. It's not going to be a pretty game, but I think they're going to pull out a win, and I think it's going to be another game where we come out and everybody's asking a lot of questions, and they're frustrated regardless of what the scoreboard said. I think the Packers win it. I think they win 24-17.
Well, I said the Packers would lose one of the next two. I said they would lose against the Panthers. They've already lost against the Broncos. I'm not going to change my opinion. I think they lose this game. And I think Some Real Sky Is Falling comes out, especially on Twitter, where it gets a lot of fun when they lose. And I think they lose this game 24-21. But remembering the 2010 season when all seemed lost a couple of times, I'm not too worried. And I think they'll play better in a loss on the road against a tough opponent. And in the NFL, there's nothing really you can do about that.
All right. Coming down to me then to decide this one. I guess because I am, I think, unquestionably, and I think we agree on this, I'm bad luck when it comes to predictions. So I'm going to go with I had the Packers winning a shootout last week, and that didn't happen. So until about 15 seconds ago, I was going to pick the Packers. But now I'm picking Carolina to win, and I'm going to say they win it 21-17.
Well, you practically picked my score there, Baba, but
almost
backwards.
The other team.
Yep. You're evil.
I'm picking Carolina to win simply so that, you know,
the Packers will win. No, it's that's sound logic. I think that's a good choice.
Yeah, well, they use it every week and it doesn't work, but, you know, just stick with it.
All right, so that's the podcast. We did it.
A?
We made it to the end. Everybody's alive. Okay, look. This podcast was a little bit sad. There was too much sad stuff to talk about. Next week, there's going to be happier things to say. I promise. I promise you this. You know, you can write it down. This is the promise.
And if we're lucky, Jeremy will have more soundboards. You know, if we're really lucky.
If we're really, really lucky, I'll have more soundboards.
I hate you, Jeremy. So very, very much. And this is not over. Not by a long shot.
I will have more soundboards, and you will like it. Thank you for listening to Title Town Sound, episode whatever number it is, because Babo didn't 57.
TJ Slaughter edition of the show.
TJ Slaughter edition. Why didn't you say that sooner? I thought we were doing Jeff Janis every week. I thought it was the Jeff Janis edition every week.
When's the Sergeant Slaughter edition?
Ooh. Babo, when is the Sergeant Slaughter edition? Okay, I'm moving on. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Title Town Sound, episode 57. The so-and-so edition. We'll bring you another podcast next week. We also have another podcast we launched last week at the website. They're recording tonight as well. Their podcast will come out, I believe, tomorrow night. That is Peck to the Future. Give that a listen. Give it a shot and see what you think. Yeah. Babo.
Yes?
You have anything to add to the end of the show?
I normally say pet your cat, but panther is a kind of cat, so
shoot your
I don't
cat.
Want to cross that here.
Maybe shoot your cat.
Nope. No,
that's not good.
No, it's not good. That's not well. What if you're starving and you need something to eat? You can't do that. Anyways, The podcast has gone very morbid. It's the end of the show. Thank you for listening. We will bring you another podcast next week. Chris, you got anything to add? Are you ready?
I completely forgot my cat. Good night, sweet Janice.
Good night, Prince Janice.
Whatever it was.
Okay. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We will bring you a much happier podcast next week. So prepare yourself for cheeriness and goodness and winning and greatness. Thanks for listening.
I really hope Chris was wearing a fedora when he said that.
I think he was. I think Chris is always wearing a fedora. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.